you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Well, 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 if it isn't my good friend, Doug Mellard.
Oh, hello, Doug Benson.
I'm going to Comic-Con next week in Sweet Home San Diego.
No way.
Not trying to brag or anything.
I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Plus, today, our guest is a very funny comedian with an unusual name.
Ooh, please tell.
We started talking about her name on a recent Doug Loves Movies, and I was just like, hey, let's take this convo over to the other show. So that's how I ended up inviting our guest today, Rena Calm.
Oh, I am anything but calm.
There's so much to discuss with the name Rena Calm that I can't even. So let's go to work. Hello, Rena Calm. That song was the opposite of calm.
Calm like a bomb. Hello.
Yeah, that really was more balmy than calmy. And how are you and where are you?
I like how you made it balmy, like a nice tropical balmy, which, yeah. You know, yeah. I'm in balmy Wisconsin right now. Waukesha, Wisconsin, to be exact, not to brag. Just soaking up the summer heat, the mild version of the summer heat up here where there's still plentiful water. Might be a good time to think about heading back to the region permanently, you know?
Yeah, we do need to go where the water is. You know, that Kevin Costner movie was right.
I just don't want to live in a world where, like, we have to watch Kevin Costner all the time, you know? So
it's funny. We do live in a world right now where for whatever reason, I'm not personally a viewer of the show, but that program Yellowstone that's got Kevin Costner on it is extremely popular with some people, I guess. And
yeah,
it just got snubbed by the Emmys. It didn't get any major Emmy nominations. So
wow.
Yellowstone fans are pissed.
Something tells me that some of the people, maybe not all, I don't watch the show myself, but I would bet some of the demographic of Yellowstone fans probably feel like it was snubbed due to a liberal bias.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But there's a couple other shows that got snubbed that you couldn't really make that argument. So it's like it's just a thing. You give out awards, you're gonna do some snubbing.
I don't really, you know? I tried watching it. I couldn't get into it, but I loved going to Yellowstone. I went there last year and I would go there and sit in silence over watching any show probably. So that's me.
Yeah, it does sound nice. And this isn't like a Christmas episode or anything. You might hear a little jingling because Doug Mellard's got a situation with his microphone cord.
And, oh God, is that happening still?
It happened. Yeah, it keeps happening a little bit, and but it always just sounds like you're tending to your reindeer.
I would love it if you not just to left move. It, leave it at situation and let everybody wonder, like, what kind of a situation is that? Just jingling sometimes, you know? Yeah.
I'm one of those people that if I were listening, I would get too frustrated with, distracting noise like that, whereas others... it doesn't bother at all.
Some people probably think it's magic, you know?
Right. Or just like, you ever do like, of course you have, like a morning radio where they can't trust the idea there might be a second of silence on the morning radio show. So they have like, you know, a musical bed underneath your entire conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's usually like some stupid thing, you know, like kind of like, hooray for Hollywood. Hollywood. You know, it's always just something vaguely themed to the idea of talking to a comedian. And in my case, it's a lot of times it's some sort of, you know, jokey weed song, you know, sure. that's playing quietly underneath our entire conversation. It's you know, like, are people that ADD that they have to be hearing music while hearing conversation?
Not only does it take away from whatever the conversation might be, but the effect of playing that underlying music, specifically not just like a sound, like a soundscape, but like something with a beat to it, it's instinctual to like wrap it up, you know? So instead of like just filling all possible lags or silence, they're just speeding up whatever content there is by making you feel like we're on a rush here. We're playing the outro music already, you know?
Yeah, it's weird too, because it's a lot of times I'll be on like a classic rock or a pop station or, you know, just a regular rock station. And then, you know, they stick to their genre of music, but then on their morning show, when they go to do something like this, the music is always just corny shit that nobody that likes whatever genre the station is playing of music, they don't, you know, they're not going to like it. So it's just, it's so counterintuitive.
Also, you're kind of one of the few comics who's really solidified like your genre with the pothead thing. Like they could like actually pick something that was in tune with like a lot of your audience base or the movies. Like you have so many things that are specific to you. There's not as much genre specification when you're talking to comedians, especially on morning radio. It's just like, oh, the comedy show, sure, tell everyone in this town, they're sure to love it, you know?
Yeah, what's gonna happen, tell us about what's gonna happen at your comedy concert. What what kind of things can we expect from your comedy performance?
We've got bloopers, spoofs, gags, you name it, you know.
I'm just always stunned when I have to tell like morning TV or radio people, you know, how comedy works. You know, it's kind of amazing how people, you know, they just don't think about it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't think about how the process works, you know, becoming learning how to write jokes and then writing them and telling them on stage, like all of that's just sort of a mystery to people. Like, how'd you do that?
Well, they also, they certainly don't think about like the category you're in or what your particular, like it's either dirty or clean, but even that has different definitions depending on who you're talking to. So like, I don't know. I feel like music has this level of like, people will just like applaud that it's there, that it's happening, like, oh, we've got music tonight. And they kind of try to do the same thing with comedy, but then if you vary off of whatever they expect, which has not been specified, mm-hmm. then they have some sort of a weird opinion where if somebody doesn't like a kind of music, they're probably just kind of like, oh, all right, you know.
Yeah, I like the comedy clubs that are like, you know, they'll try to use the movie rating system to kind of give people an idea what kind of show to expect regarding cleanliness. And it cracks me up. They'll give like a PG-13 to a comedian who's performing in a club where you have to be 21 to get in.
Yeah.
and they're basing it on, well, you know, 13-year-olds can hear this. So it's like, well, I think 21-year-olds could, I mean, it'd practically be G by the time you're 21, I would think. But you're in between road gigs right now? I know that you have been a road monster in terms of like just going places in your car and pretty much living out of your car for periods of time.
Yeah, well, I was truly living on the road out of a tricked out Prius for a few years. And then obviously, like when COVID started, I parked it. A lot of people thought that it was like to my benefit to be mobile during that time. And I'm like trying to tell everybody that DM'd me about, you know, tips for living on the road. Like, hey, you know what? During this time, why don't you just focus on staying somewhere that has a sink, like somewhere with running water. So yeah, it's not something that I ever, it kind of happened after the bookings, made it necessary or strategic. I definitely didn't go out on the road first. I feel like that's like a distinction of like, people will message me and ask about how to get out on the road. And I'm like, I'm on the road because they're in my DMs. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Everybody wants to work the road, but it's not sustainable or comfortable or easy. So, you know.
Yeah. No, it's really tough. You know, unless you're like, you know, TikTok famous, and then those people
aren't funny.
They're going to have a hard time sustaining it, because when people come out to see them, they're like, oh, this isn't really a full show that we're getting. This, you know, that we're seeing the person we like from TikTok, but they're not giving us much else to chew on.
Maybe like from like the TikTok audiences are trained. I was thinking how like once TikTok started getting popular, you'd have an audience of, you know, younger people that like after 60 seconds just starts like swiping up for the next
exactly
act, you know, raising their hand. And I like thought about getting like a group of people my age, because I'm 39, and I thought about getting a bunch of like middle-aged comics together to do a show called TikTok Live, where we all just struggle to approach the stage for an hour.
Yeah, I don't want that crowd. I don't want to get big on TikTok and then have people that have 15-second attention spans out, and then they hate me after 15 seconds or whatever. They're ready for the next thing. It sounds awful.
Yeah,
it doesn't. I saw a YouTube star on stage in front of a small crowd in Hollywood, and just snapping at one point saying, "Hey, I'm a YouTube star. I performed in a stadium last week." Ouch. You know, kind of like chastising the audience for not laughing enough. But it was a small audience. I mean, there's only so much small audiences can give sometimes.
Yeah,
unless they're all just a bunch of lunatics, you know. If you're one of only like 45 people in a 200 seat venue, like, you know, what can you expect to do? Why is it ever on the audience to make up the difference when it's not as busy?
Right,
they always get hectored more about how much they're laughing or clapping when they're a smaller crowd. And I'm like, thanks for making any noise at all, people who should just be sitting there quietly, you know, just, you know, this should be more like a meditation or a speech of some kind than stand-up comedy.
Yeah, it's a pet peeve to blame the crowd. I'm always so grateful that anybody's spending their time and their brain space on like listening to, you know what, to anybody. Like, wow, you know, if you really think about it too hard, it kind of messes with your everything. But it's a gift when people are sitting there, whether or not they've paid. And even when it comes to hecklers, I'm not a big crowd work person, but if the audience is having fun and they're interactive, I can have fun with them. If somebody's like ruining the show and it's affecting the enjoyment of the other people in the audience, then I will deal with that person in a way that's sure. Like, you know, we're all here to have fun, but you're ruining it, Gerald, you know, like something weird. You know, the audience's name when there's a very small crowd, by the way, so you can... Speaking of names, yeah,
that's a real go-to. If you haven't done it, the other comics have done enough crowd work to really get to know everybody. Or at least that one, you know, psycho that like sits up front by themselves, you know, especially when it's a small crowd. It's like, hey, give me a little room here. You don't need to really be in the front row when there's not very many people here at all, you know.
I feel like the rules should be like, no, there should just, if there's less audience members than comedians, you can't do that, you know.
Yeah.
But I've done a show, it should have been canceled, for two people that were together, just a couple. It was like a huge long hall of a room, and it just felt like the most awkward, like,
wait, was it just the two people?
Yes, and they didn't cancel the show, and I had to do an hour, and it felt like shitty comedy gondola ride. And you know what the thing is that like it went fine. They were great. They were like loud, supportive, but then, you know, they didn't love my like pro-choice material.
Wow.
Talk about a dip. I mean, that's bring a shovel for that one. I mean, I think I got him back by the end, but not all the way.
Wow.
It just sounds like a really, like, it just feels like your server is standing there talking to you for an hour, like just a nightmare restaurant scenario where the server is telling you about her, you know, about pro-choice matters.
Right, right. Oh, whoops, sorry. Was going over the specials.
Yeah, I always joke around about, like, that I want to try to do, like, like close-up magicians, how they go around from table to table and just do a couple tricks. I want to do like close-up magic where you just go up to a table. I mean, comedy, close-up comedy. You just go up to a table and, you know, give them one little thing, you know, and then move on to another one until you've, you know, talked to everybody in the room.
Yeah. One of my friends just posted this, actually, Alex Price in Indianapolis just posted a thing of like, the next time somebody stops you in regular life and is like, oh, you're a comic, like, tell me a joke. He's like, just do a whole hour. Just tell them, chase them to their car. Like, just keep going till they get it.
Yeah.
Even they'll stop asking.
Just do your hour. Do it. Don't skimp on the gun control material. Just go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just really give them a good show. Well, we're here to, if you can believe it, there's a reason. We're here to we're here to discuss your name. That's what we do with all of our guests, bit by bit. We discuss each part of your name individually, starting with your first name, which, of course, is Rena.
Yes. That's me.
R-E-E-N-A. I mean, people probably would have seen it in the show description, but I'm saying it, spelling it anyway. R-E-E-N-A. Tell us what it was like growing up with the first name Rena.
I think I liked it just fine because, well, it's a Hebrew name. Rena is either Hebrew or Hindu, like Indian. And I grew up in a very Jewish community. So, and I went to Jewish day school. So there was a lot of people with like Jewish names, but especially in my family, I have one of like the easier names. So I was always kind of like stoked that mine was, you know, simple, no throat sounds, and I always like, it means joyful song, which is what you can hear playing underneath most of my interviews. and yeah, it was, I'm named after my grandmother on my mom's side, Rita, who was Catholic, and they just found like a Hebrew version of that. But my younger siblings, my parents like wanted us to, I was born in Israel. They wanted us all to move back to Israel at some point. So they gave us all very Hebrew names. And then they didn't move to Israel. so I feel like I got lucky, and I've always kind of liked my name for the fact that I like the meaning of it. I got a better first name than a couple of my siblings. And also I guess this is a Jewish thing. I didn't get a middle name. And I feel like if I had had a middle name, that's where they really would have screwed me, you know? So.
Well, okay. So now I'm dying to hear these other names that you're glad you didn't get.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that they would agree too. My sister's name is pretty. It's Talia. That's a fairly common name people have heard. And her middle name it would be Hannah or Hannah if you read it in this country, but in our home, it was Hannah. So she was Talia Hannah. And it doesn't really have like the bounce of like one of the hyphenated names you get in the US, you know, like a Kelly Joe or Marianne. It's Talia Hannah. And so my middle siblings have middle names. My youngest brother and I do not. Next in line is Yitzhak Meir. We call him Yitzi. He is an agnostic. he is a physicist, and yeah.
Wow, Yitzik.
Yitzi, but yeah, Yitzhak.
Yitzhak.
Which could have been Isaac. A lot of people, when they have Jewish kids in this country, will have like a regular American name. And then when you go to Hebrew school, you have a Hebrew name, but we just were given the hardcore Hebrew name right off the bat. So
yeah, like you're hawking up something.
Yeah. And none of us are very, I mean, I still claim to be Jewish because I'm not ever going to, you know, we need the numbers. So sure, you know, but I am not a practicing Jew. And so none of my siblings are. So it's kind of funny because my parents gave us all these really Jewish names. My youngest brother is Moshe, which is also a little bit more common. That's who I live with here. Moshe Kalm, no middle name. But yeah, these Hebrew names all came from a man named Fred.
Oh, Fred, come on.
And you know, Fred should have known better too, especially with the middle names being complicated, because my dad, I'll let you know right off the bat. I could have contacted my father to get some more information on our last name, our family name before this, but if I did that, he definitely would have listened to this, and he might, but like, it's easier for me to just take some guesses and hope that he doesn't.
Totally understand.
My dad.
I told your dad about it though. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, he got a Google alert about my WikiFeet page, so he might see it. He sent that to the whole family. So he could very well, he will be upset if he hears me share that his middle name is something he's like always hated and kept secret from most people because his mom made it up. But his middle name is Arno, just the four letters, A-R-N-O. And so.
Right. Mr. Arno was like the bad guy in a bunch of Disney movies when I was a kid.
Oh, okay. Well,
AJ Arno was the name of the character, is played by Cesar Romero, who also played Joker on Batman. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's like a rich bad guy who's very slick. Very slick.
Okay. Tell the description.
What was the vehicle that, like, where was that from? Where was that character from?
It's from the Kurt Russell movies where he played Dexter Riley, and he was always getting involved in something in science class that would give him some sort of superpower. Like, the, you know, there was computer wore tennis shoes. That's where he got super smart from some accident in the lab. And then the next one was called Now You See Me, Now You Don't. And it was, and I see him, now you don't. And he was stumbled into invisibility. And then the third one was Strongest Man in the World. And you can only guess what what power he had in that one.
Like, not to be a downer, but what if like the role of the villain was, what if they switched things where like the villain in those stories was somebody that just came on screen and was like, hey, you know what, kids? There actually are no shortcuts. I'm AJ Arno. You just got to make the most of what you were given.
I don't remember any them really having any great Arno puns in the dialogue, but I do. It is a memorable name, and I've never heard it applied to an actual person. Did you give us all of your brothers' names?
Yeah, Yitzchak, Moshe, and Talia is my sister. So there's four. Oh,
okay,
of us.
I see. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it's a complicated family tree you got there.
Sure.
And it really saves us some time though, this no middle name thing. Like, yeah. How often have you had to have that conversation with people? Like when people look at your ID, do they go, hey, what's up with the no middle name?
You know, people don't usually stop or ask questions. I mean, there's a place to put it in every form, but I don't know. In my experience, I feel like people aren't really doing such a thorough job of paying attention anyway. I mean, I could be trying to commit crimes and they're like, yeah, sure, move it along, you know? Like, so.
I still always laugh about it's super bad the way that one kid, his fake ID, he thinks a good name to have on the fake ID is for it to just say McLovin. Yeah. And it's so funny to me because, I mean, not only is it just stupid, like it's not a person's name, it's not, doesn't make any sense, but also just have one name on your ID. Like, why wouldn't anybody go, how come there's only one name here? Like, you should at least have two. I would, you know, unless you're
Cher.
Fucking Cher or Sting or Madonna.
Do you think Cher, those people don't even have IDs anymore, do they? I mean, they make Cher go to the DMV?
I mean, you know, I think, like, especially when they don't put on their, you know, when Cher doesn't have a giant wig on, who knows how much, you know, she might have to convince people that she's Cher.
She
might have to slap them and yell, snap out of it. And, and then they go, oh shit, that is Cher.
Okay, what about when Prince changed his name to a symbol? Do you think that he still had to have regular, it still said Prince on his, so like anytime if he ever got in trouble, the record label would benefit or be punished, because wasn't that the whole reason he had to change his name to the symbol so that he could record music without it being for Warner Brothers?
Yeah, so his legal name on his license is probably still Prince Rogers Nelson, just like it was when he was just going by Prince as a musical artist. Right. I think the symbol was just in lieu of using the name Prince as like a pseudonym. So I think he'd still be, you know, and his friends certainly didn't call him Symbol.
No, maybe he just started going by Rogers. They had to call him,
hey, Rogers. He's always,
hey,
like,
Symbol, you know, Symbol, you want a beer?
Man, it's interesting when somebody as famous as Prince, you know, leaves us, we really get like two times a year, people kind of celebrate and talk about him all day because for some reason, his initial birthday and then his death day both become, we keep track of both of those.
Yeah.
But we don't do those for a lot of celebrities. You have to be pretty huge for people to be like, you know, that, you know, noticing both each and every year.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if I could think of any others like that right now.
Maybe Elvis used to be like that, but I couldn't tell you shit about either his birthday or his death day now.
I mean, like Michael Jackson probably hit that level of fame, but also like the scrutiny probably it's less than, and Prince was also so recent that I feel like people are more inclined to celebrate like the anniversary of his death that just happened.
Yeah, I mean, in a certain way, everybody's going to get both now, just because whenever it's the anniversary of anything, it gets, you know, becomes a Twitter subject, you know, so like So any famous person who's no longer with us, we're still going to be like, it would have been so-and-so's, you know, 85th birthday today. And, or, you know, it's the anniversary of so-and-so's death. You know, you're going to hear about him twice a year, I guess. Unless somebody can really pull off dying on the day you were born. I wish more people would try to do that.
Maybe close the loop, you know?
It would just be easy to just do every year. You just do a, hey, this guy died on this day and he was born on this day. Bing, boom, we're done with him for another year.
That's all you need to know.
I swear to Doug, I swear to both of you, on July 14th, or I guess 15th, 2023, I'll post that it was the anniversary of when I did the Wide World of Doug's podcast. And we'll see if we can get that going, you know?
Oh, that's fun.
I probably won't promote it this, but I'll definitely share it next year.
Yeah. It's, in the world of podcasting, it's never too late. You know, it's kind of a, it's kind of become a sad reality that if, you know, fortunately, knock on wood, doesn't happen too often, but like if someone who's been a guest on one of my shows passes away, you know, it's always interesting to go back and just be able to have like that, those times that, you know, you recorded something together.
Oh, I mean, that's why I always try to take pictures. I think it's morbid, but I like, that's always a thought that happens to me. It's like, oh my gosh, like I never got a picture when I did a show with Kevin Meaney and then he died, you know, and what was the real tragedy? I'm just kidding, but yeah, like there's this morbid, the more people you know that pass away as you go, the more you're like, well, I hope I can, I don't have time to keep up with all the pictures I take, but like, yeah, I want to be able to find memories of people that I can see.
Yeah, it's, you know, of course it's happening more and more just because, you know, because as you get older, you know, we know so many comedians in our careers that like, and now, like, sometimes a comedian will die and somebody I've never, you know, not aware of, you know, like there's just so many comics out there and, you know, some, you know, doing the deep, you know, not getting rich necessarily, but making a decent living, but also still not becoming like a name your average person knows. So let's keep going on, on your name.
The saddest.
We got to take a break. I've lost track of time, but we got to take a break and we will be right back.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
We're back. See, that wasn't so bad, was it? That wasn't terrible.
We made it to the next life.
Yeah. And like we were discussing during the break, I looked up your name on IMDb. I typed in Rena. And as you probably would imagine, a bunch of Indian actresses' names came up.
Oh, yeah. That seems very right.
Very popular in that world. But how often do you get? Is it a problem that it's an interesting spin on Rita? Like, is it? Do you get a lot of people thinking your name is Rita?
No, I get Renee a lot. I get Patton called me Renee on Doug Loves Movies, and you kind of, I didn't want to even interrupt him because I'm like, Patton's talking about movies right now. I'm going to listen.
I swear. it's funny. I knew he said your name wrong. I remembered it as that he said Rita instead, but Renee, whatever it was he said, he was like, you're right. He was in the middle of a thing. And then if either you or I said something to him about it afterwards, it would just make him feel bad because he's not sitting there trying to get people's names wrong.
I'm so used to it that
I was just like, I hope that I wasn't sure if anyone else besides me noticed, because he did kind of roll right through it. But
I'm glad that I could make sure to bring extra attention to it now in this second podcast. So if anybody wants to go back and listen for that, it did happen. But
and it's fun. It's fun, and it's less. It's very unlikely Patton's going to hear us talking about it now.
Yeah,
and it was funny at the time, and but not not worth breaking up the flow.
No,
whatever it was we were talking about.
No, listening to you both talk about movies is more entertaining than an audible typo.
Did you notice that I referred to you by name an excessive amount of times after you did it?
Yeah, I did. Thank you. Yeah.
It's just like, let's just fix this without having to tell him directly.
I feel like, that was a slick recovery, and it does happen a lot. People have called me Renee or Rihanna. I mean, I feel like my spelling of Rena is the most phonetic spelling possible, but a lot of people have like R-I-N-A, which I get, that's pretty easy too. It's like Dina, Rena, but some will just have one E. And so I think it's the two E's that makes people think it's Renee.
Right. I'm just thinking of the spelling of rain, R-E-I-G-N or whatever, that weird spelling. I guess people can really go out of their way to make it harder on themselves. But then after they get past Rena, after they get past the mystery of no middle name.
Yes.
I mean, is there a middle name you would enjoy having as your middle name? Because you could just start saying to people when asked whatever you wanted your middle name to be.
Renee?
So my name is Rena Renee. Actually, my name's actually Rena Rogers Nelson Calm. I thought about, I always wanted it to be Dorothy, and not just because I played Dorothy in the musical Hebrew version of The Wizard of Oz when I was in eighth grade, not to brag, but because Dorothy's middle name, I mean, a nickname for Dorothy is Dot, and so I thought it would always be fun if it was Rena Dot Calm.
Oh my God.
That's pretty beautiful.
I have gone by Dot before because of this. Like, I tried to make it a thing. So this is not.
I had a grandma Dot.
Oh yeah, cool.
That was very unusual. I like it.
Right, and there's also there's an animaniac named Dot.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
She's the cute one.
Yes. She's really been pushing. She's been keeping that name Dot out there because they rebooted Animaniacs for Hulu.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's Wacko and Jacko, which are both, I don't know why they're called those things, and I just don't think they should be.
Yeah.
Or no, Yakko.
Yakko and Wacko. Yeah,
Yakko, I think it was. There's no Jacko.
Yeah, something about Wacko or Jacko by itself is fine, but both of them together is like, is this like one of those Disney things where it's subliminal sex messaging? Yeah. Yeah.
No, but Yakko's over there. Like, Yakko's either like yelling or vomiting. So, like, you know, he's always yakking about something or yakking up something. So, so that's okay with Wacko. But Jacko and Wacko would have been bad. but there's Dot keeping that name going. Rena.com is. Do you have a public email address?
Only
a private one.
No, I do. My album is called Calmity, and I've kind of just used like hashtag Calmity with no plan or goal. Since I started, I just started putting that like as a hashtag on everything I was doing. And so that's what I called my album, but my public email is calmityproductions@gmail.com because Calmity was taken.
Yeah. Calmity.
Yeah. And that's also caused some weird stuff where to me, it's like, it seems obvious if you see my name next to Calmity that it's like, oh yeah, they go together. But people have been like, oh, you're here off your Calamity tour. And it's like, that's different.
Oh, God. Calamity. I love it.
Yeah, that's when we're having renal failure. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
It does, you know, Calamity is a pun that there's definitely some work involved on behalf of the person. But I think that pays off because of the work. And then also as people become fans, they have to get used to it and use it. I'll hashtag all the stuff about this episode with hashtag Calamity. And that's the other thing though, is that Calm is like, as a last name, it's just, you know, up there with it as if someone's last name was Soothe or Soothing.
Yeah.
Or Relax or Mellow. So do you think the juxtaposition of being like a public speaker, but your name is Calm, do you see any relation there? Do you feel like you sort of got pushed into the entertainment life because Calm is just such a perfectly good juxtaposition to pretty much any, you know, even if you're a dramatic actress, I think it's a cool last name, you know?
I love my last name. I try to live up to it. And especially in a situation where somebody's like perceiving me and knowing my name, I try really hard to, you know, bring a calm tone to what I'm doing. And the comedy thing, I never... strategized. I don't know what I would have ever chosen for a different name if I didn't have this one. I'm psyched and I'm grateful that my name is unique and I don't ever have to try to come up with like a different stage name or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm actually more inclined to be easily agitated. Like I was thinking about where it even came from, and we talked about it a little bit on the on Doug Loves Movies about how I think it might have been like an Ellis Island. I don't know if Calm was my family's name before my grandfather came over here. Like I've been able to find stuff about my grandma's side of the family, but like I've had theories about how Calm happened, and I feel like. It was probably less the case that whoever was doing intake at Ellis Island met my family member, my grandfather, and was like, oh, that guy's got a real calm vibe about him. They were probably more like, calm down, sir. You know? And so like, I feel like maybe that's the origin story, or at least that's what I'll go with.
Yeah, it sets up like either way, you know, if you say this person coming to stage right now is calm. Like it either sets up people, you know, you could follow through and be calm, or you could be agitated, and either way, it works.
Yeah.
And it's not, I did some more typing. I'm crazy with I learned how to type recently. So I do.
Wow.
He's very proud of it.
I typed the Calm, C-A-L-M, into the search engine on the Internet Movie Database. And the first thing that popped up is a movie that I enjoy very much. I was talking about it recently on Nicole Kidman's birthday. It's a movie called Dead Calm.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. I don't care for the name of it. But yeah, I like that.
Yeah. But no Calms came up as the name of any actors. It's just the word Calm, in titles of movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
So you got that going for you too. It seems like a very extremely rare last name.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some of us, but nobody else that's in show business. And like, I mean, like my dad and his wife, when they got married, they had like the whole theme of the wedding was the British, like keep calm and carry on theme. But it was just all like the invitations were keep calm, we're getting married. And like, but that same font and format, or like, and you go over for Thanksgiving and they're like, keep calm, it's Thanksgiving. Like with the same, yeah. I always thought it was frustrating that like people would get that one wrong. Like telemarketers would call the house and I would imagine they'd see the word calm and be like, that has to be a typo. Is Mr. Clam there? And like, I don't get like why they would choose that. Like, oh, it must be clam. 'Cause that used to happen all the time.
I mean, is anyone named Clam? Is
that name? No.
Yeah, I got a friend named Billy Clam.
Were they calling people alphabetically? They just went through a run of clams and then got to call them and just thought it was this typo.
Well, I don't think it would have been alphabetical. Would be
clam.
Yeah,
Calm would be before clam. So yeah. I don't know what the hell's wrong with this people, unless Clam was the very next name after yeah. Calm.
No, it holds no logic, really, but
I am enjoying Clam as a last name, though. It's for some reason. I don't know why I think that's so funny.
Renee Clam, she plays Vegas,
I'd like you to meet Theodore J. Clam. Also, I was thinking, though, it's almost anagrams the word for when you can mix the letters up and spell a different word?
I think it's anagram is when it's the same front and back, like forwards and backwards, I think.
No, that's a whatchamacallit.
I didn't know whatchamacallit. Okay, I didn't know that.
No, no, that's called a... what are those called? Those are called... Not malaprops, because those are words that's getting the wrong word.
Bananagram,
no? That's it. So bananagram of your name of Rena is almost serene. I was thinking instead of calm, serene, Rena serene.
Oh, that would be like
Rena Serena.
If I was like Serena calm, oh my God, I would have to do like screech metal or something, like completely the opposite. I don't know. Or just take a vow of silence and like still set up shows, but then like get up on stage and just try to like really sell it with my eyes, you know?
Hey, weird detour, but did either of y'all see the trailer for the Rob Zombie Monsters movie?
Not yet.
It was bad. I heard it looked bad, but that's all I heard.
It's just weird. It's just like he really is just like trying to recreate the old TV show, the style, the look, the jokes, the everything. But it's just like, why? How's that a movie?
Well, kids these days are really just begging for the Munsters to come back.
You know what happens when you're born wanting nostalgic things. You know what I mean? From the second you're born, you want to just think about the past.
You're just like, get me back in that womb, you know?
Toddlers are just like, you know, four-year-olds are like, oh, when I was two, things were so different.
No, anyway. I haven't seen that. I was more of an Adams Family gal than the Munsters.
Right. Well, the new Adams Family series Wednesday, I have very high hopes for. I think that could be a super cool starting off point for a series, that character. Nicknames.
Yeah.
What's your life been like nickname wise, like when you were younger and now? Have you had any nicknames that are pervasive?
I think probably the only one that's ever been like frequent would be Reenzy. But that's, you know, the person who started that, like, just kind of talked real cutesy like that anyway. So it fit in with how she spoke, but I don't think I would love that if it just flew out of anywhere, you know?
You're not inviting people at this point in time to go ahead and call you Reenzy.
I like Reenzy more than Renee. Okay. What, I got really mad at the end. I saved it for the end. No, there's just not a lot of people that I think are inclined to make that nickname. Like, my dad used to call me Reen sometimes with no A, but it seems like you could just throw another, you know, there's not.
Yeah.
Reen is pretty, it's almost one syllable, you know?
Yeah, it's true. But that's an interesting thing too, is Reen rhymes with a lot of words, but Reena kind of takes it out of the realm of being able to rhyme it easily.
Oh, you know what I have? My favorite nickname is actually, there's my friend Allie always goes, "Sweet Reena, have you seen her?"
Oh, have you seen her?
Yeah. I did in school get said, like, they used to say, like, they used to tease me by saying, "Reena's got a weena." And like, I think that one, it's just interesting because it's like, I wonder if kids still would do that now, you know what I mean? Or if it would be like, well, she might, or, you know, he might. I don't know if people are still.
I'm sure that the children are extra mean about it because it's more of a real, it's more of a reality in our society. That Reena could have a weena, but
maybe.
But at the same time, it also just, I think like a lot of schoolyard taunts, I think everybody just disregards it. And but it's got to be tough out there.
Yeah, kids are, you know, I'm
it's
never
the worst. The
I'm never
worst.
Going back to, I'm not nostalgic for that. I don't mind.
No.
Yeah.
Just the Munsters.
Yeah.
Like whenever you see a movie or TV show, like a group of kids that like are just talking to some guy walking by or something, like they just have the power to just destroy.
Oh my God.
They could just be so vicious and so, and just so, you know, gang-like. And pack like that. It's just, it's scary.
Oh yeah. I mean, we used to do group sleepovers that were like hours of prank calling people that are just trying to run their business, you know?
yeah.
Right.
We were horrible to them. Like horrible.
How do you spell Reenzy? I'm sorry, Doug. Real quick. How do you spell Reenzy? Yeah.
Oh, just like Reensie, Reenzy.
That's not what I would have guessed.
Oh, with a Y at the end?
There's so many options. So glad we got it on the record. But Doug, what were you going to say?
Oh, just talking prank calls. Like, you know, we used to do that, like she was saying, all night, all the time. But this one that sticks out to me so vividly, like the amount of time I wasted on this person. I called, like in the third grade, we got this number, like somebody came to talk to us about, like, if you're home alone and you're scared, call this hotline, or if you have a problem of any kind, call this number. So I went home that day, that afternoon, and at like 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. I call this number and I like give them information for a while, like they're asking normal questions, like get them on the hook for a while, and then out of nowhere they ask like, what's wrong? And I just start crying and I say, I'm addicted to Fruity Pebbles. And I just kept crying for a while. And then I hung up and none of my friends were there. It was just me. Like, what am I doing? Like, it's so, like, I just wanted to waste this poor person's time.
And it's like especially bad because they really are like, I just want to help make the world a better place.
Yeah.
You're not like calling the bank and being like, here's something weird. You're like, this is community outreach, and you're like, I'll show them.
What a jackass.
We had real stupid ones of like, I mean, I think the main one that we did is we would do like the, hey, is your refrigerator running? You better go catch it kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Random numbers. But like, we thought it was so funny to call the local McDonald's and like, just try to order pizza for delivery. Like, that's not even creative enough to be funny. It's just so annoying.
It's so pointless and just aggravating to the person on the other end. But, you know, just getting somebody that really takes the bait and gets really mad, you know, that's part of the fun. But also it is weird. I think that's why there's so much pranking going on at any radio or TV show that has a call-in option. Because, you know, it is weird to do pranks on the phone where like you're the only person that knows that you just prank somebody. But like if you do it on the radio, at least if you're doing it from a lonely place, you have a feeling that you're, you know, sharing it with other people.
Yeah.
I used to be like a radio call in. I used to be like a fake pranker. can I share that showbiz secret that sometimes they're not... Like, yeah, I used to get really, really out there, weird, not even funny, just like weird scripts to like pretend to be harassing a radio station. so yeah, those were some weird ones, but I don't know. It's interesting to think about like what they'll do. We were talking about it at the top, like to fill time on the air. And sometimes you just got to hire Rena Calm to play Darla the psychic and
yeah, no, there's a lot of time to fill in morning radio. Like it's an exhausting gig if you're have anything to do with any of those shows that like are really into, you know, creating a lot of new content, doing a lot of pranks and stuff. But this hour flew by, Rena. That was so quick and so much fun.
Thanks.
We appreciate you being here. You passed, I think you passed every question you got correct. And I'm looking at your final score and I think I think you got 100.
Renal so, success.
Yeah. Yeah. what would you like to plug or promote? Do you have anything, any place people can come see you soon?
Yeah. Well, definitely if you are able to get a copy of my album, I'd recommend that as that just came out a few weeks ago, Calmity, as we've discussed. See what that name is made of. But in person, I'll be in Indianapolis this Sunday doing the Sunday show at Black Circle Brewery. I'm headlining that. And then I'm going to be in Cedar Rapids next weekend, the 25th and the 26th. They just opened a new club there called The Lucky Cat, which is, I think, a good name for a club. So I'll be at The Lucky Cat. And then early plug for next month, I'm headlining Go Bananas in Cincinnati for the first time. So I'm very excited for that. That'll be August 12th through 14th, I believe. So, but all my stuff's on my website, renacalm.com, not rena.com, I wish, but renacalm.com. And I think of all the apps, the best place to keep up with me is probably on Instagram, also at renacalm, because nobody else has that name. So it's mine.
Perfect. It's funny you should say that because I've got gigs coming up at Go-Kart and Lucky Bananas.
Oh, cool.
I changed it to. Doug, what do you got going on?
I'm just going to shine some love on an album I never promote called I'm Worried About Me that I did during lockdown times forever ago. I feel like now it's a good revisit.
Yeah.
If you didn't want to go back that way, although some people are kind of retreating again because numbers are terrible now, but I'm worried about me. It's not just about that as my experience, but plenty of dumb jokes about just random stuff like hummingbirds and throwing up on my feet. Fun stuff. Check it out. I'm worried about me.
Yeah, please don't throw up on any hummingbirds.
Yeah.
Doug Lowe's Movies is going to be at the Dynasty Typewriter this Sunday at 4:20 in Los Angeles. And then I'm doing two at the American Comedy Company in San Diego during Comic-Con. That'd be Wednesday the 20th and Saturday the 23rd. DougLovesMovies.com for all my dates. Thank you again, Rena.
Thank you, Doug and Doug.
Rena Reenzy Calm. Don't call her Reenzy. And we always end on the title of each episode is some sort of pun or something based on our conversation and our guest. So,
I hope that this went well and that I didn't end up in the Doug house. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Hey.
Goodness. That's a good one. We should save that one for, although since Rena came up with it, I think maybe we should use it just in the Doug house with Rena Carl.
Has anybody ever done the Doug show?
No,
I'm very sorry, but I was brainstorming and, you know.
No, I love that sketch on SNL is hilarious.
Yeah.
In the Doug house. Okay. So yeah, forget what I was going to do. This is way better. Thank you, Rena.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon, Doug. And as always, in the Doug house.
Got it.